First Chronicles in chapter 4. First Chronicles 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honored than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest richly bless me, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God brought about what he had requested. And just another verse in the New Testament, in Colossians, Epistle to the Colossians, in chapter 4, Colossians 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, the bondman of Christ Jesus, salutes you, always combating earnestly for you in prayers, to the end that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Just thinking about these two prayers, dear brethren, one very much on the individual side, and one reaching out, you might say, to not only the Colossian saints, but to all the saints. And I thought about this first prayer. As we are said in prayer, we stand at the dawn of a new year, and what would our prayer be? What would our desires be as we, if God leaves us here, if we have the opportunity to ask God for direction? And this man, Jabez, he calls on the God of Israel, and he asks to be blessed, he asks to be enlarged, he asks to be guided by the divine hand, and he asks to be delivered from a world of evil. I think it's very appropriate in the day that we're in that we have such desires. The background is, of course, that he was more honored than his brethren, which would suggest moral features that would cause God to listen to this man. That he was brought forth with exercise and suffering lay behind it. But here's the man himself. And what is his prayer? Oh, that thou wouldest richly bless me. Time of year, you know, we get occupied with material things. But I think this prayer reaches beyond that to the kind of blessing, the kind of giving that God is able to give to each one of us as we are exercised in prayer before him. The richest blessing. Blessing of Jehovah that maketh rich. I think that would involve a deepening in our hearts of the knowledge of God himself. What could be a greater blessing than that we, during the course of this, the days ahead, come out of it with an enhanced knowledge of God? And of course that involves an enhanced knowledge of the man in God's presence, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossian epistle starts with Paul speaking about them growing by the true knowledge of God. And I think that would be a desire in our hearts as we face the days ahead, that would be the blessing we look for. Growth in the knowledge of God. And then that he would enlarge us. You know, we can settle down within our own little circle, but this man is concerned that his border is enlarged. You know, the tribes of old, the definition of their inheritance was very clear. But in Christianity, in a sense, there's great scope for enlargement. And that enlargement can come, as far as I'm concerned, in two regards. In the testimony, and also in the things of God. The testimony reaching out as God does to all men would encourage us to be enlarged in our thoughts concerning our fellow men. You think of the Lord's words before he went on high to his disciples to go out to all creation, to preach to the world. And it would encourage us to be expanded in our appreciation of God's thoughts for our fellow men. You know, we look out on a few, but we think of God's disposition as he looks out from his house. He has in his vision the blessing of all men. Mm-hmm. It's been said, you know, God looks out from his house over the sufferings of Christ, over all that was transacted at Calvary, and is looking out over it. He has a desire that all men might come to appreciate the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Mm. But more than that, I think the enlargement of our border would be enlargement in the wider aspect of the knowledge of God. Mm. You know, it's to the God of Israel that Jabez prays this. Mm. But our God has made himself known. He's made himself known in Father and in Son and Holy Spirit. Mm. The marvel of such revelation, how great it is. Mm. I wonder, you know, if our borders have been enlarged to bring a wider appreciation of the making known of God in such a way. Mm. Of course, he's been made known in the person of Christ. Mm. You know, I've thought of that. When John writes to the little children in his epistle, he says, I write to you because ye have known the Father. You know, if I was writing that, I would have said, I write to you because you know the Lord Jesus. But you know, John's desire was that these persons would develop in the knowledge of God as Father. Mm. And I just think that this blessing, this enlargement of the border in our daily life, in our daily circumstances, would involve that in these circumstances we are enlarged in our appreciation of what God the Father can do in these very circumstances, be they difficult, be they sad, be they joyful. Mm. We've touched these things in prayer, that in these circumstances we can widen and deepen in our knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. And that thy hand might be with me. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, that, you know. We do not know what the days ahead involve for each one of us, but one thing is sure, that if the divine hand is leading us, is guiding us, these days will end in blessing. Mm. You think of the difficult circumstances that many believers, many Christians face in these days, but the divine hand, as leading us along, will guide us along in view of getting blessing. Mm. And that's what he says here, and that thy hand might be with me. Mm-hmm. It may be for correction. It'll always be for encouragement. Mm. In fact, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, speaks of him as the God who encourages those who are brought low. Mm. I think that's a lovely touch. Mm. Times in our life when we feel down, God, the God of encouragement, is the God who will encourage those who are brought low. Mm. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Mm. You know, that takes us to that wonderful prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17. He didn't pray that they would be taken out of the world, but that they might be kept from evil. Mm-hmm. It's an evil day that we're in, dear brethren. Mm-hmm. Enemy is attacking in many different ways. Mm-hmm. He's attacking young ones. He's attacking all ages, even in a land that has the name of Christian written over it. In that land, you know, the enemy is attacking. And we need to be under the guidance of the hand that would keep us from evil, that it may not grieve me. So Jabez's prayer is very pointed, and it's very clear and precise. Bless me, enlarge me, guide me, keep me. What a prayer for each one of us. And what does it say? God brought about what he had requested. I think that's beautiful. I think it's God honoring the moral features that he found in this man, and as looking on this man and listening to his request, God says, I can answer that. He answered the prayers of Christ. How many prayers God has answered? But here's a man who is God's ear, and God says, I'm going to answer that. It brought about what he had requested. This is just one of the jewels of the Old Testament, this verse, you know. I don't know that we hear of Jabez again, but the Spirit of God fastens our attention fleetingly on him to show that whilst publicly we may not be too much, that in God's eye, God listens to the prayer of faith and he's prepared to answer that prayer. As I said, it's very individual. But when you come to Epaphras, his prayer is much wider. Paul's written this epistle, which before the Colossian saints enhances the glory of Christ. How beautifully and skillfully Paul writes this epistle. Mm-hmm. First of all, portraying the glory of Christ in chapter 1. Mm. Warning them in chapter 2 against the influences that would draw them away from leaning on Christ, from holding on to the headship of Christ. Mm. Chapter 3, just lifting the vision to another scene. Mm-hmm. A scene which engages us with the things which are above, not the things which are on earth. We spoke of the enlargement of our border. There's the border. The things in the things above, not the things on the earth. If we're looking for a border, let us make sure that our occupation is not with the things of the earth, but is with the things above. And so this man, Epaphras, who is one of you, he belonged to that company, the bondman of Christ Jesus. What an honor to be such. The bondman of Christ Jesus salutes you. His regard for the saints is such that Paul must draw attention to him, always combating earnestly for you in prayers. How did Paul find this out? How did he discern this man? He would have seen him in prayer, on his knees perhaps, earnestly combating, which suggests that the enemy was at work seeking to divert Epaphras from his outlook on the saints. But not so. Epaphras has a vision in mind in his prayer that the saints, to the end, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I think you know this prayer, in a sense, is greater than the prayer of Jabez. It reaches out to the saints as they will be in the eye of God, in the presence of God. In a sense, it's almost reaching out to the Ephesian epistle, to the Ephesian teaching. And here's Paul, just seeking to encourage these Colossian saints that this man's prayer goes beyond the individual blessing to the blessing of the whole company of all that belongs to Christ. These are my few thoughts, dear brethren. Prayer individually, to have a prayer like Jabez, what a blessing comes on that way if it's accompanied by moral features. But also, let us have, as one of you, it says, one of the, a member of the body of Christ, let us have a vision that encompasses all the saints so that we have in mind that they stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's how God sees them. You might say it's a prayer at the level of the burnt offering, prayer that lifts up the saints to see their place before God. Well, may God bless the word for the next.
Amen.